If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Last Sunday, we began a new sermon series entitled, A Faith That Works. How many know a faith that doesn't work isn't of much use to us, is it? A faith that is theoretical, you know what theory is? Something that looks good on paper. A faith that is merely theoretical but doesn't work in the real world is of no value to you and me. But we have a faith that works today. And last Sunday, to begin that series, we looked at real faith. The characteristics of a faith that is genuine. And this morning we want to continue our sermon series on a faith that works. And I want to read to you from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 22. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. The title of my message today, the second message in the Faith That Works series, the title of today's message is Victorious Faith. Last week we looked at real faith. Today it's Victorious Faith. Now, the passage, what precipitated the exchange here in the passage that we read? Well, a short time before this, Jesus and his disciples were walking along and they came to a fig tree. And the fig tree was in bloom. It had leaves. But when Jesus and his disciples looked at it, it had no fruit. That's a sermon in itself, you know, having leaves, having decorations, but having no fruit, isn't it? And so Jesus cursed that fig tree and said, may no one ever eat figs from you again. Well, this is a short time later, and they come back to that fig tree, and they see it is withered from the roots. Verse 20 tells us this, and Peter says, Rabbi, look, he says to Jesus, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And so Jesus replied to him, and that is our text for today. A faith that works is a victorious faith, is a faith that overcomes difficulties. Now, nobody likes difficulty. Am I right? Nobody likes pandemics. Nobody likes economic downturn. Nobody likes violence and strife and conflict and all the things that we've been dealing with, not to mention the run-of-the-mill problems, if you can call them that, sickness and, things breaking down. I had yesterday, for me, was one of those days. About three or four things broke. And I spent all of my afternoon trying to fix things and order things. And it was one of those. You ever have one of those days or one of those periods? Yes, of course. And so whatever it is, we have things to overcome. That's called life, isn't it? And so a faith that works is a faith that works in spite of difficulties, in spite of challenges, in spite of dilemmas. It's a faith that is a victorious faith. And this morning, in the next few minutes, I want to answer from this passage the question, what must we understand to have a victorious faith? What do you and I need to understand to have a faith that is a victorious faith? The first thing is this. We need to understand the object of our faith. We need to understand the object of our faith. In verse 22, Jesus said very simply, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And you might say, well, Pastor Tim, I mean, that's obvious. That's to be understood. We should have faith in God. Is it? We place faith in so many other things sometimes, don't we? Faith, we can only have faith in a person. Can I tell you that? We can only have faith in a person. Now, when we say that, the thought may come to mind. It came to my mind as I considered that statement. Well, what about someone who depends on his equipment, for example? You know, when a pilot is flying a jumbo jet, a 747, he, and by extension, all the passengers, everyone on board, is depending on that equipment, right? They're depending on the navigational systems. They're depending on the fuel systems and the landing gear and all that. But they're ultimately not really depending on equipment. What they're depending on, technology, what they're depending on is the work of people who put that all into place. Because jumbo jets don't just come into being, do they? They're put together by people. So when they have faith in their equipment, they are actually saying they have faith in the people who are involved in putting that equipment together. And you can say that for anything else in life. Faith must be faith in a person. When there is someone that you're depending on to get a job done, often you'll say, and I say this not in vain, but in reality when it's true, hey, I have faith in you. I have faith you're going to get the job done. I have faith that you'll be able to fulfill your mission. I have faith in you. We say that sometimes about politicians, although I think right now not too many people have faith in politicians. But when you believe in someone, you say, I have faith in you. Jesus said, have faith in God. The ultimate person in whom we need to have faith is Almighty God. Amen? I think, you know, if I've ever made a true statement from behind this pulpit, I think that's as true as any statement I've ever made. Because if there's anyone in all of existence worthy of having faith put in him, it is Almighty God. Because the scripture says he is the one who spoke the universe into existence. Can we even I know we know that theological truth, but can we even contemplate the meaning of that? It boggles the mind. Almighty God spoke and everything that is in existence came into existence. I'll tell you what. If there's anybody worth putting faith in, it's that God. Hallelujah. There's literally nothing he can't do. He is the sovereign God. He's in control. The scripture says, in him all things consist. Hallelujah. So when we sing about him being a waymaker, when we sing about him being the Almighty God, the one who is over all, we are singing truth. We are declaring truth. Indeed, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And, you know, we're human. And sometimes things don't go well. You know, they say about, you know, one of the things that's been devastated during this pandemic is sports. You know, I think they're going to play a shortened baseball season. And who knows what's going to happen when football season starts. And it's not that far away. But, you know, coaches go into a football game, for example, with a game plan. And they say, you know, the game plan looks great on paper, but what happens? When they get into the game, guess what? The other team has a game plan too. And the plan looks great until your players get knocked around a little bit. Then it's not looking so great, you know? And you wonder if your faith was placed in the right game plan, because things change. And we can get discouraged, you know? We leave a service like this and we're full of faith, and then we go out tomorrow, right, or today or whenever it is, and we face life and things happen and things don't go according to plan. And as I said, things break down and expenses rise and health issues arise and problems in relationships arise and these things. And we tend to get discouraged and our faith in God wavers. Now, understand what I'm not saying is we have to be this mighty man or mighty woman of faith. I believe we can be a mighty man or woman of faith. But you see, the important issue is not how much faith we have. Jesus said in one place, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is a minutely small seed. But if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can pray and believe God for anything. Sometimes we get the idea, man, if I could just psych myself up, man, if I could just grip my teeth, you know, and have this awesome faith, God would do things. That emphasis is all wrong. Because that places the importance on how much faith we in our humanity are able to muster up. Boy, that's a weak foundation to base our hopes on, isn't it? Our ability to grit our teeth and rise up in faith. Instead, our emphasis should be on the object of our faith, Almighty God. You see, when our faith is weak, when it's practically non-existent, He is still the great I Am. He is still the sovereign God. He is still the creator of the universe. He is still in control. Hallelujah. Don't place the emphasis on your ability to stir up or generate some faith. You just focus on Almighty God, His greatness, His awesomeness, His faithfulness to you in the past. How many can say God has been faithful to you in times of difficulty? Hallelujah. Focus on that. Focus on His greatness. Many Christian groups were outraged when the United States Mint produced 300 million gold-colored George Washington coins and left off the phrase, "In God we trust." And of course, a lot of the Christian conspiracy theorists said they did that on purpose. I don't know if they did that on purpose. The Mint said it was a mistake. But I think more important than what we have on our coins is what we have in our hearts. Who are you trusting in today? Who is the object of your faith? Is it in your ability to rise up? Is it in man? Let me tell you, the most faithful, the most honorable, the most respected person among us at one point or another will fail. But Almighty God will never fail. So if we're to have victorious faith, we need to keep in focus the object of our faith, Almighty God. Amen? We need to focus on Him. Are you feeling weak? Are you feeling like your faith is weak? That's okay. Say, God, my faith is weak, but Lord, You are strong. I place my faith in You. And you notice, Jesus said, have faith in God. That is in the imperative mood. It's something you do. It's a choice. Well, I just don't know if I have that much faith. It's a choice. Say, Lord, no matter how I'm feeling, well, we get so controlled by our feelings, don't we? Lord, no matter how I'm feeling, You do not change. I choose to place my faith in You, the object of my faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! We need to understand that He is the object of our faith. What's the second thing we need to understand? The purpose of our faith. The purpose of our faith is to move mountains. Now, mountains in Scripture were symbolic or metaphorical of problems, of obstacles, of difficulties. Jesus said, in verse 23, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he said will happen, it will be done for him. The purpose of our faith is to move mountains. The purpose is to remove obstacles. It's to resolve difficulties. I love that old song by Andre Crouch. Remember Andre Crouch? That old song, Through It All. He said, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. You know, everybody has giant faith when they don't have problems. Right? We can be on top of the world if we don't have difficulties. But faith that is real is faith that moves mountains, that removes difficulties. Again, we're talking about a faith that works, a faith in the real world. And if we're to have victorious faith, we need to understand that the purpose of our faith is to move mountains. Do you remember the show, the old show, The 700 Club? I guess that's still on, is it? Or some version of it? Pat Robertson had a co-host. His name was Ben Kinchlow. And we heard him speak at a festival here in Virginia years ago. I'll never forget what he said. Something so simple. You've probably heard it before. He's probably not the only one to say it. But he said, when we at 700 Club, when we see the Christian Broadcasting Network, when we see problems, we like to look at them as opportunities. What a great outlook. Instead of saying, and I confess, I'm prone to do this, another thing to deal with, another challenge, another fire to put out, another thing to fix, another expense, another relationship problem, another issue. Come on, do we have those thoughts? It's enough! What I really want to train myself to do is say instead, another opportunity. Another opportunity for faith to be at work. Have you noticed at times when a problem presents itself and we just want to put our head in our hands and be in despair and destroy? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we fret and we worry. We think about, 8,000 ways that the situation can turn sideways. And we just work ourselves into a lather anticipating dealing with this problem. And the time comes and we deal with it. And we look back and say, hey, that wasn't so bad. You ever had that experience? It wasn't nearly as bad as I was making it out to be. And as I was losing sleep over, it wasn't nearly that bad. And what do? We work ourselves up. We need to train ourselves to remember that the purpose of our faith is to move mountains. That problems to Almighty God are nothing more than opportunities, hallelujah, for Him to work. And how much would our faith grow if we trained ourselves to say, man, this mountain, this problem, this is an opportunity for God to move a mountain. Heard about a small congregation in the foothills of the Great Smokies that built a brand new sanctuary on a piece of land that was willed to them by a church member. And 10 days before the church was to open, the local building inspector informed the pastor that the parking lot was inadequate for the size of the building. And he told them that until the church doubled the size of the parking lot, they would not be allowed to open their brand new building. And they were scheduled to open, as I said, in 10 days. But the church had used up every available piece of the land except for the backside of the land. There was this mountain, this small mountain of land, and they couldn't use it, obviously. And so the pastor called for people who had mountain-moving faith, that's what he said, to gather in the church next Sunday, and they would gather together to ask God to remove that mountain and provide enough money to have it paved and painted before the scheduled opening the following week. Out of 300 people, 24 people of Mountain Moving Faith came to this prayer meeting, and they prayed, and after the prayer meeting, the pastor declared, he said, I don't know how God's going to do it, but we're going to have church in our new facility next Sunday as planned. And so they left, and then the next day he was in the office, and there was a knock on his church office door. And in came a rather rough-looking construction foreman. He removed his hard hat, and he said, excuse me, Reverend, I'm from Acme Construction Company over in the next county. We're building a huge new shopping mall over there, and we need some fill dirt. And I was wondering if you'd be willing to sell us a chunk of that mountain behind the church. We will pay you for the dirt we remove, and we will pave and paint the area for you free of charge. How long do you think it took that pastor to say yes? And so literally the mountain was moved, the area was paved, and the church opened in their new sanctuary the following Sunday. Hallelujah. That's literally mountain-moving faith. You see, there's nothing too difficult for our God. There's no mountain so big that He can't move it. And that is the purpose of our faith. Sometimes people get so excited about their imagined great level of faith. You know, I'm a great person of faith. Oh, I have, you hear people say this out in the world. Oh, I have my faith. Like that's some mantra, you know, some magic bullet just to say, I have my faith. No, there's the purpose of faith isn't just a badge that we wear. It's to move mountains that are in our way. The next time you see a mountain that's in your way and that's blocking what needs to have happen, what you need to have happen in your life, you just say, this is an opportunity for Almighty God, because my victorious faith is for the purpose of moving mountains. Amen. What's the third thing we need to understand to have victorious faith? It's how to exercise our faith. The exercise of our faith, and there are three ways. First way to exercise our faith is this. Because faith isn't put into action until we put it into action, until we exercise it, amen? The first way to put it into action is this, it's to speak to the mountain. Jesus said, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea. Speak to the mountain. My home pastor, when I was a young boy in my home church, one time preached a sermon. My oldest brother used to record all the messages, and it made an impact on him and all of us. And the title of the message was Speak to the Mountain. Are there mountains in your way right now, church? You need to speak to that mountain. Tell it to be thrown into the sea. Say, mountain, get out of my way. Mountain, you have no power over me. I'm a child of the sovereign God. Hallelujah. Mountain, you don't control my life. Mountain, you don't hinder the plan of God for my life. Speak to that mountain. Speak to that problem. Speak to that sickness. Speak to that financial difficulty. Speak to that issue where you don't know what to do. Speak to that relationship problem. Speak to that problem at work. Speak to that addiction problem, that physical problem. Speak to that problem in your family. Hallelujah. Speak to the mountain. Exercise our faith by speaking to the mountain. The second way we exercise our faith is by asking in prayer. Jesus said in verse 24, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, it will be yours. We need to ask. Old hymn says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, sometimes we have the attitude, when we're desperate, we'll pray. Oh God, I'll bring the, we don't say this, but our attitude says, I'll bring the big things to you, the little things I'll handle. Now, this may just be simple preacher logic, but I figure if God can handle the big things, He can handle the little things too, amen? Why don't we just give it all to Him? Why don't we just pray about all of it? Hallelujah. Heard a story about a little boy who was spending his Saturday morning playing in a sandbox. He had his box of cars and trucks, his plastic pail, shiny red shovel and all that. He's creating tunnels and roads in the sand, and he discovered in the middle of that a huge rock. And he was in his way. He wanted to get rid of it, and so he's pushing and pulling and doing everything he can. It was too big for the little guy. And he'd move it just a little bit, you know, but then it'd fall back into place. And Dad's watching through the window. And finally, the little boy got so frustrated, he burst out into tears. Dad comes out and says, son, you haven't tried everything to move that mountain, that rock. He said, yeah, Dad, I did. I tried everything. I tried pushing it. I tried pulling it. I tried putting something underneath it to move it. And I tried everything. Dad said, no, you didn't. You didn't ask me. You didn't ask me. Isn't that a picture of us? We push and we pull and we finagle and we scheme and we figure out. And I'm not saying, you know, there are times God, we wants us to use our rational ability to think. I get that. But man, some things, that stuff doesn't work. And what do? We just keep trying to push and pull and finagle and work and everything. And, you know, and hopefully at some point it'll dawn on us, we didn't ask Dad. We got to ask Dad. We got to pray. Because prayer moves mountains. Prayer moves obstacles. So we exercise our faith by speaking to the mountain, by asking in prayer, and thirdly, by believing in the heart. Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Believe. Do we have that level of faith in God that we believe it's as good as done? You know, when there's someone you have faith in, that they're reliable. We're so used to having so many people around us that aren't reliable, right? When you have somebody, can you think of somebody that, man, you just, if they say, their words is as good as gold. You know that kind of person? You want to hang on to those kind of relationships, don't you? And when you depend on them to do something and they say, I'll take care of it, what's your thought? Whew. Relief, right? It's as good as done. I mean, if Joe Blow over here said he's going to do it, I'm not counting on that. But if this lady, if they say they're going to do it, I'll sleep like a baby. It's as good as done. Because I can depend, I can believe that. That's what Jesus said. When we pray in faith and we believe in our heart, it's as good as done. Amen? So we got to believe. We need to trust in Almighty God. This morning, as I conclude, we need to have victorious faith. We need to have faith that works in the real world. So we need to remember that God is the object of our faith. It's not about how much we can muster up. It's not about our effort. It's about who He is, the sovereign God. Amen? We need to get our eyes on Him. Secondly, we need to understand, to have victorious faith, that the purpose of our faith is to move mountains. Faith that works in the real world works by moving obstacles and seemingly immovable mountains that are in our way. And thirdly, we need to remember how to exercise our faith. We speak to the mountain, we ask God in prayer, and we believe in the heart that it's as good as done.